Hello and welcome to the fifth and very special season of Bus to Talk, the exclusive podcast of Bus to Bus. All episodes of this season were recorded in our podcast studio during Bus to Bus in April in Berlin this year. You can hear renowned experts from the bus industry, politicians and startups. I'm Kirsten Kuber-Erkens from Messe Berlin, and will be on the lookout for news and insights from the bus and mobility theme for you. I have Totinia Hörner at my side to support me. She's a freelance moderator specializing in mobility, innovation and leadership, and has been supporting us at Bus to Bus for a number of years.
Thank you very much, Kerstin, for this warm welcome. I'm delighted to be part of this exciting season of Bus to Talk and to be exploring the world of mobility with you once again. I mean, we have a lot of great things planned this season, and I'm looking forward to inspiring our listeners with exciting insights and, of course, inspiring stories. Welcome to another episode of Bus to Talk, the podcast where we explore pioneering developments in sustainable mobility and urban transport. In today's episode, we'll be diving into the world of electric buses and the innovative strides being made by India's largest bus manufacturer. Joining us is Mr. Nishant Arya, Vice Chairman of the GBM Group, to share insights and learnings from their work in the industry with us. The GBM Group has been at the forefront of India's sustainable transport revolution, really encompassing everything from battery production to bus operation and really embracing a holistic approach. So today we'll be discussing their latest breakthrough, the debut of their electric coach unveiled for the second time in Germany and for the first time here at the Bus to Bus. So let's welcome Mr. Nishant Arya to shed light on these exciting developments and the future of electric mobility in India and beyond. Great to have you here, Mr. Arya.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So, Mr. Arya, there's a tradition that we have in this podcast, and we start out with getting to know who's actually sitting here. So, you're the vice chairman of GBM Group, and since over 14 years, you've been into that position. So, what is it that makes you passionate about mobility and especially buses?
So I personally feel that something which we do should be available to masses. And we always focused on, and that was my personal passion, focusing on performance, safety and comfort and how to make that affordable. So once it becomes affordable, then majority of people who use public transportation at least once a day could use it. And I think with electric buses and the EV ecosystem which we deploy, we give them an opportunity to really see that does one really need personal mobility? And public transportation should be giving them a luxury ride-like comfort. And it's all a base about a need or a choice. Majority of people in different parts of the world use public transport because it's a need, not a choice they make. But how do we transition this momentum towards the choice they make, because it's the best solution which is available to them, and they would always want to use it because it's so very comfortable and convenient.
So we actually come from a societal aspect rather than the mobility effect just in general, just liking buses. But you're like, okay, I'm passionate about getting people from A to B and actually giving them an option that is an alternative.
Yes. So that's part number one. Secondly, what I would look at is that today zero emission technologies are very essential. When you look at zero emission technologies, people talk about that it's costly, it's not really scalable. But my focus has always been to really see that how sustainability can lead to scalability, how to make sustainability profitable for it to be scalable. And that's where one really understands that the tangible outcomes and benefits with electric mobility really are ensuring that every single city, every single country or region could really benefit from it tremendously. And that's when we look at in terms of a total cost of ownership, that over a lifetime cost, over a period of 15 to 18 years, with the kind of fuel costs which are eliminated whilst you're using zero emission technologies like electric vehicles, or with the maintenance costs going down, the simplification of the vehicle architecture, where from about 2,000 moving parts, you go to 20 moving parts. So the complexity gets reduced. It's basically, if I say in layman terms, an Apple cell phone on wheels. So it's a lot about hardware, firmware, and the kind of software you put in place. And it enhances the user friendliness for any operator, any driver, as well as the commuters. So the drivers also have very less level of fatigue in such cases, which reduces the number of accidents or mishaps which may happen. So it's an interest of the society. And then when we look at electric vehicles, we also see that the NVH level, which is the noise, vibration, heat levels, go down substantially. So people start experiencing a different level of mobility solution when they are working on such kind of paradigm shifts which happen once in a lifetime. And I think that's what all of us are experiencing at this time. And especially what I would say is that after COVID, all of us have understood the importance of health and environment. So each and every one of us act like responsible citizens. When we do so, whether we use public transportation or personal mobility is our own choice. But people are transitioning towards electric mobility now and really see that they're acting as responsible citizens. Whilst doing so, they are really ensuring that their contribution, whether small or big, is impacting the environment positively.
That's quite good. And talking about impact, you're having a quite big impact. I mean, for one, being the vice chairman of India's biggest bus manufacturer, but also I've done some research and found out that you have been elected in 2023 by the Economic Times to be top 40 under 40. So how come? Explain us.
No, so I always feel that how one is able to make an impact and how is one able to add value. So categorically, hiring and developing teams which are smarter than yourself and being able to institutionalize business growth consistently and ensure that technology is driving value is something which is very important. But I think all this can be only done if one is passionate about what one does. And I am extremely passionate about what I do. And I always, I'm quite fond of sports. So one of the sports I'm fond of is Formula One. And Formula One really has always been a very good learning experience for myself, where speed and balance really go hand in hand for any particular Formula One team to win. And that's exactly how I pace out what I do. And clearly, in the longer term or shorter term, if you are able to create the same passion amongst all the stakeholders in the ecosystem, I think that's what leads to this. And I feel that that's what has got recognized whilst they must be evaluating different individuals for 40 under 40 awards in the last year.
Congrats.
Thank you.
And let's talk a little bit more about GBM Group, because I could imagine that not everyone listening actually knows the scope of what you're doing, because you're, yes, for one, the biggest bus manufacturer, but you do more than that. You look at the whole ecosystem. So maybe you give us a little insight of what's on your plate. What do you do?
Sure. So at GBM, we are a complete EV ecosystem provider. So when I talk about EV ecosystem, that encompasses electric buses, lithium batteries, power electronics, EV charging, mobility as a service, and very strong manufacturing and after sales capabilities. So today, our facility which we have, which can produce up to 20,000 electric buses per year, is the largest facility in the world outside China. So we are really focusing at all times to give best-in-class products. We have a very strong team in our R&D and technology development. And we have a very strong mix and good mix of global teams. So we have people from Germany, from Austria, from Switzerland, from North America, Japan, Italy, all kind of places across the world, Middle East, Africa, who are in our teams. And with our facilities across the world, I think that's something which gives us a very good opportunity of having diversity leading to inclusiveness and inclusive growth everywhere. Because I think with every individual, the sense of understanding and depth of a different market, different culture, different nuance, which is required by customers in multiple geographies, becomes stronger. And that is something which leads to us really seeing that today we have already clocked more than 100 million e-kilometers, electric kilometers, and where more than a billion passengers have commuted with our vehicles. And we are targeting to see that how we get to more than 1 billion e-kilometers within the next 3 years, and close to 10 billion passengers and commuters using our services. On the other hand, we are also quite focused on circular economy. So we see that today the lithium batteries we produce, they are not only used in electric buses, but we focus on repurposing and utilizing them for energy storage. So battery recycling or waste disposal is something which is moved out to 20 years hence, after the first, including the first life of electric buses. So that gives a holistic approach. And it gives a ready-made solution that whilst you're designing engineering solutions, you're keeping multiple life cycles in mind. At the same time, we also see that as a part of our ecosystem, we focus on renewable energy. So solar energy, waste to energy, green gas. So in totality, you'd see that majority of all the businesses which we have developed in India, and we are present across 37 countries in the world. We have multiple people across Europe. And we have huge facilities, like about 15 plus manufacturing facilities in Europe, about 5-6 different facilities across Africa, Middle East, North America. So we are spread across the world, and I think it's a constant learning, and we are blessed to have a very strong team, and we focus on something which I learned whilst gaining experience in Europe and Japan before going back to India. That what we call now as TIP. So technology, innovation and people. Even though in terms of priority, it's PIT, but PIT does not sound good. That's why we call it TIP, because people are the biggest priority. So I think these three things are the key distinguished and distinct factors for redefining JBM as a group. And we are always trying to imbibe two qualities which are consistent: learning and change. And that's what has helped us evolve as an organization across businesses, across different geographies in the world. And that's ensuring our agility and versatility and making us nimble on a constant basis.
So how big is the GBM group? How many people work for you?
So close to 30,000 people, and $3 billion plus is the group revenue. Across our different businesses.
Okay, so many countries, so many people involved in what you do, but maybe you could tell me, especially when you work with different cultures, cross-cultural, how do you keep the vision, the mission, the passion ongoing? Because like with every culture, there are miscommunications, they do it that way, other countries do it that way. How do you keep everyone on one track to follow the mission?
No, we have an approach which I think has worked very well for us, which we say think global, act local. Because in every country, people who act locally and are doing businesses globally, locally, really understand the local nuances and requirements. At the same time, there are a lot of global processes, systems and SOPs which enable people to perform better. So a combination of local nuances, local activities along with global SOPs has worked very well for us. And definitely each new market we enter in teaches us something different. And that is something which we try and adapt and try to deploy horizontally across the world. Plus, having multicultural teams in different countries all over the world, including the global headquarters, we have a lot of multicultural people, really makes us adaptable to accepting change and being able to evolve very fast based on the needs of local markets.
So let's talk a little bit about public transport in India. I believe you'll be the expert on that, and many listeners will be very keen to know. And I mean, of the 20 most polluted cities of the world, 14 cities are in India, and transport is one of the biggest contributors to pollution. So what is the current status of sustainable mobility and public transportation in India?
So India in the last few years has been quite focused on electric mobility. And in electric mobility, like we have had a few different subsidy programs run by the government of India. Majority of the focus has been given on buses because that's what benefits the common man and the masses. So more than 40% of the subsidy framework has been allocated to them. And clearly, we've seen that India is one of the front runners in the world. I think second largest deployment as a country and a program allocation after China in the world is India. And today we are seeing that as a country, we have about 1.7 million buses. And the penetration level in India is around one bus per thousand, which is quite low. And that gives the opportunity that for whether for augmentation or for replacement, both the places we could utilize electric buses and as an ecosystem. Because on one hand, India as a country has earmarked that by 2030, we would be achieving 500 gigawatt of renewable energy. And by 2047, 1,000 gigawatt of renewable energy. So if I see from generation to consumption, what we're trying to see is that how generate green and consume green, and that will be giving the real benefits of electric mobility. And at the same time, it would lead to a very high level of energy security because a majority of our import bills today as a country go towards crude oil and petroleum imports, which are there. And this would ensure that we are becoming more and more self-sufficient, even though as a country, we've had consistent 6 to 7% and up to 8% growth in our GDP on a YOY basis. And now we are almost $4 trillion as an economy and targeting to double up in the next few years. So I think things are moving in the right direction. So now we are also focusing as a country how to make in India and make for the world. And clearly having a very good bandwidth of engineers, like as a country produce about 1.6 million engineers every year. So the idea is to really see that we are a complete end-to-end service provider as a country. And definitely JBM tries to be a flag, a torchbearer, and flag bearer of the same in domestic and global markets, trying to put that idea and focus across.
Really impressive. And would you say that this is the approach that pretty much every bus manufacturer should have when talking about development and really not just offering the bus, but the whole ecosystem?
Yeah, I think that's something which is very important, and that brings in a distinct advantage regarding our firm, because we started very early. We were the pioneers in electric buses in India back in the day. And clearly, we invested a lot in technology, and technology driving value is our basic motto. And creating that value for all the stakeholders, not only the end commuters or operators. So that is a game changer of sorts, where you are investing consistently in technology and providing the full end-to-end ecosystem for the customers to really experience what it is. Because for many customers and stakeholders, it's something very new, and they're not able to decipher exactly what they should be doing. And that's something which we try and address for them, giving a complete ecosystem, which we call JVM Everse.
Sounds interesting. And I know that you do operate in Delhi in buses. So how many buses does JBM have in Delhi? Do you have an approximate number for us?
Yeah. So across categories, we would be having now more than 2,000 buses in Delhi. We are operating buses across India and different geographies of the world. So in our e-mobility business, now we have about 6,500 plus buses, which are executed and under development.
Quite a big number. And what would you say are, though, in the midst of challenges that you're facing when it comes to electrification?
No, I think in certain cities and countries, people still want to continue with the same operating pattern as they would for ICE-based buses, for electric buses. Whereas there are some changes, if not all, for it to be adapted. And at times, it does take a bit of time for people to really have awareness around it. even though they may be for it or against it, but that is something which is essential. Secondly, I feel that an end-to-end deployment from generating green energy to electric vehicles, if it's that's the long-term vision at a country level and they have a clear roadmap, that roadmap is what would give fantastic results for it to really fly and sustain in the longer term.
And where do you see the biggest chances with electrification? I mean, of course, sustainability. And you said, okay, sustainability is what also drives you, and not just to be sustainable, but also for it to be profitable. But other than that, where do you see potential?
A potential for us as a company or for countries and different cities?
Yeah, for countries and different cities.
So for countries and different cities, I think using sustainable materials is also very important, which are biodegradable in nature, which can be reused, because that would also reduce the amount of waste they generate, which has to be disposed of. Secondly, what must be done is that at a city level, the urban planning should consider all these elements, whether it is in terms of smart utilities, smart transportation, smart energy, smart infrastructure, and complete smart buildings and real estate mechanism, because that will help them in saving energy, producing green energy, utilizing sustainable materials. And all in all, I think it will improve the life of the citizens and the people living in such areas, which would get differentiated completely vis-a-vis others. Because I think for times to come, we all are very responsible for the kind of environment which we leave behind. And as we create this environment, I think there are different challenges which will keep coming up. So how are we adaptable towards that is something very essential.
Mm-hmm. And how would you advise a city that says, okay, I would be interesting in electrifying my bus fleet, but we don't have any infrastructure yet, because it might be, I don't know, maybe a countryside or somewhere where the infrastructure isn't that developed. How would you consult them?
No, so we always act as a solution provider. So I think the first is important to understand what is the kind of bus fleets they have, what is the usage of the bus fleets, what's the penetration across the high density areas in those cities and locations. At the same time, what is the kind of energy infrastructure which is available, and basis that one can plan different bus depots, terminals, the kind of power and charging infra required. And one can do complete planning, because in different countries, multiple cities are such which are starting from a clean slate and which do not have much at their end. But I think everything is possible if things are addressed holistically and comprehensively.
Okay. And you're here for the first time at the Bus to Bus with a premiere with the electric coach. Give us maybe some insights on that bus. Do you have a vision behind it, or what was the idea behind the coach?
Sure, because coach is significant and very important to redefine luxury and comfort. So when you are redefining luxury and comfort, you really tend to understand that when it's a long-haul travel, these are the two key things, along with technology enablement, any passenger is looking for. And clearly, with the electric buses, we have been able to reduce the noise pollution and the being a zero emission bus as well. So clearly the driver sees it as a paradise, because they see that such vehicles really reduce their fatigue. And when you are traveling longer distances, if it is able to cover 400 to 500 kilometers in a single charge and about 1,000 kilometers in a day, then in that case, the operators are also able to ensure that for them, the asset utilization is the key. So higher asset utilization covering longer distances is also leading to very high level of decarbonization. So our focus was, how can we ensure a very high level of decarbonization and zero emission with this? Because like with every city bus, we are able to knock out about 1,000 to 1,200 tons of CO2 and about 420,000 liters of diesel. Similarly, with a coach, this can be enhanced at least 3 to 4x with the kind of utilization which can be done. So 1,000, 1,200 tons could easily go to 5,000 to 6,000 tons of CO2. The 4 420,000 liters of diesel could easily become 2 million to 2.5 million liters of diesel, which could be knocked out. So we are talking about totally different paradigms and a big shift in terms of the kind of requirements which any country would have. And all that capital can be used in very productive activities, whether for development of people, for schools, for hospitals, for infrastructure, for industry, for growth and learning.
So it won't be a question of people cities transition. It just is probably a matter of time how fast they change to electric coaches.
Exactly, for sure.
Mm. And just having a look, a closer look to the electric coaches. Do you already have GBM electric coaches here in Europe?
Yeah, so we already have GM electric coaches here in Europe and multiple customers in Austria, in Germany, and in Hungary, and a few other places have already tried them out, and many of them are looking forward to trying them out and ordering them. And with many customers, we are in advanced stages of discussion to conclude things.
That sounds very exciting. And when talking about the electric coach in Europe, what are the main differences that you're seeing through the implementation? So is it just as easy to implement it in India as here in Europe?
No, I think every country is different. We always focus on really understanding the routes on which our customers are deploying these vehicles. So we do a lot of route mapping, route planning, and at the same time, the availability of charging infrastructure on those routes. Otherwise, we have a lot of charging infra partners who work as a part of our ecosystem, or we ourselves deploy charging infrastructure depending on case-to-case basis. Otherwise, what we are seeing is that the customers are a lot more receptive because they definitely look at things at a TCO basis, total cost of ownership, and are having a longer-term horizon whilst they're doing this. Definitely, one thing which is different in Europe vis-a-vis what I'd see, like we have now been catering to Australian markets, UAE market, Singapore market, and many other markets, developed markets for that matter, that the scale is increasing slowly. So people at times definitely commit to electric vehicles, but the scale is rising with time as they experience things. Whereas in some other countries, people are able to scale up much faster. So, but there are some companies which are actually quite forthcoming and progressive in their mindset.
Okay, so we're too slow here in Europe.
No, I wouldn't say too slow, but because
just a little slow.
I think people like to take things one thing at a time and grow step by step, understand, and then take actions rather than doing things for the sake of doing them. So I feel that every region, every culture has its own way of doing things.
Yeah, I think the German culture really likes the security and just being sure that they've made the best possible decision they could have been making. So looking at the market, you're not the only one out there. Where do you see your competitive advantage?
So our competitive advantage is the EV ecosystem, not operating purely on price, but on total cost of ownership. Thirdly, having delivered more than 100 million e-kilometers, and having a very strong order book, already dealing with multiple very well-proclaimed international partners. Like recently, just as recent as a couple of days back, we've signed up more than 2,000 electric buses with one of the largest global funds called Macquarie from Australia for deployment of electric buses all over the world. But how many companies are doing that today? That's a question to be answered. And clearly, having the bandwidth and the capacity of 20,000 electric buses per annum differentiates us completely. And then having focused on ultra-fast charging, which ensures very high uptime for our customers and ensure that the highest asset utilization is available to them at all times, because that's what adds to their revenue and their growth. And last but not the least, focus on what we call performance, safety and comfort for all our passengers and commuters. And they become the brand ambassadors for us everywhere. And that's what they would look forward from all their service providers, to have such a product which is able to demonstrate what we have. Mm-hmm. So we empower them, and we definitely give them a perspective where they are able to have a choice which they can make and not a need which they focus on.
Mm. And when looking at the European market, are you not, I don't want to say scared, but maybe worried about the whole regulations and rules that are coming up, especially when talking about electrification? Or do you say, no, it's not a problem?
No, it's not a problem because the rules and regulations are pretty global in nature. They're not very market specific. Everyone looks for safe products. Everyone looks for high performance products. Everyone looks for products which are reliable and durable. So, and that's what we strive on.
That's good. Well, we're already coming closely to an end, but I would like to finish by asking you, how do you envision GBM Group's role in shaping the future of mobility and sustainability globally until 2030?
No, definitely. I think we have already emerged as a key global player in this segment, and we would be strengthening our position across the world in all the regions as a key local player in Europe, North America, Middle East, Africa, Asia Pacific, South America, all the areas. So definitely with the global teams and technology as a key focus, I don't see anything stopping us. And at all times, we like to reinvent ourselves on a constant basis. So all new technologies, you see, we have a very high, long history of firsts. Being the first electric bus company in the country at this commercial scale, and then at the same time going for high power DC fast chargers at 4,500 kilowatt hours, charging at 2C or 3C rates without degrading batteries in certain cases, coming up with electric coaches of such natures. So we always try to bring in a paradigm shift in our thinking, going beyond what the customer is asking for, not being technically a me too, right? You would not see a coach, at least to the best of my knowledge, of 1,000 kilometers per day in Europe today, which is as prevalent, put across. So I think these are certain things, so we don't shy away from taking things as a first player in the market with technology and with the right TCO solutions for our customers. And I think as time goes by, we would be bringing in multiple new things which would be adding to this list.
So many firsts are about to come. Thank you so much. Thank you for your insights. We're already at the end of our podcast. We've learned a lot, not only about India, but also about GBM. And we're delighted how we're going to see GBM develop and here in Europe. So thank you so much for your insights and the inspiring journey of GBM Group here with us. We'd like to thank our guests. Thank you for listening and hear you soon in the next episode of Bus to Talk.
Thank you.
A big thank you to our guests. This concludes another episode of the fifth season of Bus to Talk. Stay tuned. We invite you to take a look at our website www.bus2bus.berlin. There you will find all the information about Bus to Bus, as well as our podcast and newsroom. You can find more information on our show note as well. We look forward to your subscriptions, of course. See you soon, and our tip, try the bus.